be a tree. I was reading in the Word, and I came across this, and I'll show you a little later the passage. And as I was reading through that, I was just struck with this idea of a tree. And I thought, oh no, Lord, I went looking, you know, for something else, because I was sure that that couldn't possibly be what he wanted to say to us today. But he wouldn't leave me alone. He just kept bringing me back to it, and bringing me back to it, and bringing me back to it. And I did think about, when I ask for what songs you want to sing, and we will often have a little picture rise up and say, let's sing about the trees clapping their hands. So, yes, I did think about that too. But also thought about this. Do you remember the poem Trees by Joyce Kilmer? If I read the first line, you will remember this. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. How many of you know that? How many of you know that poem? Pardon? Yeah, it's very well known. Joyce Kilmer. I didn't realize that he died so young. He's 32 years old, but he wrote this short little poem. And as I was thinking about the tree, this poem kept coming back into my mind. And now you'll go home and say, you know, we went to church today, and the pastor read a poem. Are you kidding me? What kind of a church are we becoming? Amen. Huh? It is a poem, yeah. It's a poem, church. And so I went to the internet, looked up the poem. You know, the internet is a wonderful development. You know who invented the internet, right? Don't you? I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the sweet earth's flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. And I thought, I did not, all I remembered was the first line. I think I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. And so I went and I read it, and I said, oh, I see. Only God can make a tree. And he wants us to think today about becoming a tree, allowing him to make us a tree. So that's how I think. That's how God leads me. So let's go to Psalm 52 to begin. And what I did was, as I was getting this this idea from the Holy Spirit, I just began to follow. I have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which I've had for many years, and I like it so much. One of the reason it's called a chain reference Bible is that if you find a verse that speaks about trees, for example, you look in the margin, and it says trees, and then it tells you where the next verse in the Bible that talks about trees. And then you go to that one, and then it gives you the next verse. And so there's a chain through the Scripture. And so I just started reading these verses that speak about trees and thinking about our becoming like a tree. And Psalm 52 makes a contrast between the wicked, those, verse 1, the person that boasts himself in mischief. Verse 2, your tongue devises mischiefs. Verse 3, you love evil more than good. You love lying more than righteousness. Verse 4, you love devouring words. You're a deceitful tongue. But verse 6 says, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. In verse 7, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. In other words, a man who was trusting in himself rather than in God, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his own wickedness. But I, on the other hand, am like a green olive tree. Now, when you think of a green tree, what image does that conjure up? A tree that's alive, a tree that's growing, a tree that's healthy, and a tree that's producing. Okay? I am a green olive. I'm not just an olive tree. I'm a green olive tree. I'm in the house of God. In other words, I'm fresh and vigorous, and I'm in his presence. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. So I am a green olive tree. He wants us to become a tree. And becoming a tree will make us fresh and vigorous. It'll make us in his presence, and it'll make us trusting always in him. And notice the contrast between the other guy, who was trusting only in himself and ultimately will fail. And then if you turn to the 92nd Psalm, here's another reference to a tree. The 12th verse, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. I want to flourish. I don't want to live on just barely get along street. I don't want to barely survive. I don't want to fly my life on a white knuckle flight, you know, holding on for dear life. Well, how you doing today, brother? Man, I'm making it. Huh? I don't want to make it. I want to flourish. How you doing today? I'm hanging on by the skin of my teeth. You know how much skin is on your teeth? Zero. I mean, all of these expressions we have because of the difficulty of living, the struggle of just life. I don't want to live my life like that. I want to flourish. I want the things I do to prosper. We will prosper. The righteous will prosper like the palm tree. He will grow. I want to grow. Don't you? I don't want to stay where I am. I want to grow. Not only do I want to grow up, I want to grow out. I want to grow. I want to develop. I want to become. You know, Romans 8:29 says that he has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. I want every day that goes by, I want to be less and less like my old self and more like the new self that he wants me to become. The righteous will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I want to be always in the presence of the Lord. Hold your finger right there and turn back with me to Psalm 16. One of my favorite scriptures talks about the presence of the Lord. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. Not just a little bit of joy, but fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Don't you love that verse? In thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. That's the way I want to live. And if becoming a tree is the way to doing that, then that's what I want. Back in Psalm 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. We must stay in his presence. We must be planted there. You know, once you plant a tree, I planted an oriental persimmon tree off my deck. Every day when I go out, you know where that oriental persimmon tree is? Just right where I planted it. I mean, it never moves. It never moves. I go out in the morning, it's there. I go out in the evening, it's there. I go out the next day, it's there. I go off for a week's vacation, I come back. Do you know what? That persimmon tree is in the same place where I planted it. And that's where I want to be in my relationship with God. I want to be planted in the presence, in the courts, in the house of the Lord. And I want my roots to go down deep so that I cannot be moved away. No matter what happens in my life, that I cannot be moved away. And then in verse 14, I like this verse. Many of you will identify with this verse. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. If you become a tree, like God wants us to become, the kind of tree He wants us to become, no matter how old you are, you will bring forth fruit. As a young person, you will bring forth fruit. As a middle-aged person, you'll bring forth fruit. And you'll never get so old that you stop bearing. You will always be flourishing. You will always be producing. You will always be delivering out of your life good, tasty, juicy, nourishing, appetizing fruit. And that's what I want. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now, the idea of fat here is not the idea of physical obesity. The idea of being fat here is the idea of, over and over again in the scripture, we hear about cattle and livestock being fat and sleek. In other words, it's healthy and vigorous and full of life. And that's the kind of tree that He wants us to become. And then look with me at Isaiah 61. Oh, Jesus, so simple and yet so powerful. Isaiah 61 and verse 3, we sing out of this verse, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. But also in this verse, the last part of the verse says, we are given by Him the oil of joy in the place of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that what might occur? That we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that what might be, what might come from our existence, God will be glorified. I want my life, don't you want yours, to bring glory to God? Don't you want someone to look at the issue of your life and say, God be praised. Praise the Lord Jesus. Lord, I glorify you for that woman's life. I praise you for his life. I thank you so much for what you did through him, through her in my life. Don't you want that to be the issue of your life? Don't you want to bring glory to God when it's all over? That's what I want. I want to be called a tree of righteousness. I want to be known as someone planted and rooted by the Lord, belonging to him, one of his trees that's producing his fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and kindness and meekness and temperance and fidelity and all of the good fruits that come from the Spirit of God working in us. And then in Jeremiah 17, this verse. You didn't know there was so much in here about trees, did you? Jeremiah 17 and verse 8, 7 and 8 actually. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the waters. Why is it important to be a tree planted by the waters? So you'll never dry up. Who wants to live their life and die like a dried up old prune? Shriveled up. You know, you can shrivel up on the inside just as quick and just as easy as you can shrivel up on the outside. You can get just as ugly and just as dry and just as stiff-necked on the inside as you can on the outside. You can get just as old and decrepit on the inside as you can on the outside. Now, the Bible uses water as a symbol or an emblem of the Holy Spirit. And this is the imagery here. A tree planted by water will always be vigorous, always be flourishing, always be fruitful, always be green. A person, a Christian, planted with the Holy Ghost will always be the same way, a fruitful, flourishing, productive, vigorous, and fresh Christian, no matter how old we may become. And that, he says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Now, I like this part. And shall not see when the heat cometh. In other words, no matter what trouble may come our way, and how many of you know that as long as we're in this world, we're going to have trouble? Didn't Jesus say that? I mean, I didn't say it. In fact, I don't even like to repeat it. But Jesus said it. He said, as long as you're in this world, you're going to have tribulation. People are going to mess with you. The systems of this world are going to array themselves against you. The devil is going to do everything he can to corrupt you, to weaken you, to hurt you if he can. The devil comes, the thief, to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of God's people. And so he'll bring the heat. But if we are a tree, and if we are planted firmly, and if we are living next to the river, and if the water is watering our spread out roots, Jesus said, you're in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. How is he overcoming it in our lives? Because we're going to be planted, because we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to water us, because we're going to stay close to the river. We will not see the heat when it cometh. It won't bother us. We can go through it. Drought will not affect us. But her leaf shall be green. Now, up we may never get rain, but it won't matter. Why? Because our roots are reaching into the river. And it won't, you know, those that aren't reaching into the river, what's going to happen to those that are around us? They're going to die because there's no rain. But if your roots are reaching into the river, you will never die. You will never be unfruitful. And it will not be a concern to you because it's arid. And shall not be careful. The words, let's reverse the word careful and call it full of care. Shall not be full of care or have anxiety in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I love this verse. I love the imagery that is being presented by this verse. So if we will trust in the Lord, if we will be like a tree planted by the water, we will never be unfruitful. We will never, never, ever dry up. And then this verse in Hosea. Can you find Hosea? Hosea will be, you'll have Ezekiel, will be the last of the major prophets. And then Hosea is the second of the, what we refer to as the minor prophets, the smaller books. You have Ezekiel and you have Daniel, and then you'll have Hosea. And find the last chapter of Hosea and read this about tree, about the tree that God wants us to become. Hosea 14. I hope you sense this inside like I do. This is referring, if you read verse 4 and 5, this is referring to the tree that God is blessing. Verse 6 says this, his branches shall spread, his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Now you have to see this with your spirit. You can't understand this with your natural understanding. You have to sense this with the Spirit. And what it says to me is that if we will allow him to make us his kind of tree, we will be first beautiful. Now, it's hard for some of us to think of ourselves as beautiful. I mean, I look in the mirror just like you do. And beautiful? I mean, no. I mean, that's not me. But he says we'll be beautiful. And he says we'll smell good. We'll have a beautiful fragrance. Beautiful and fragrant. I love that thought. And then that brings us to the main verse today, which is, you say, Pastor Vic, it sure took you a long time to get here. Yes, it did. But give me some room. And that would be Psalm 1. If you looked in your bulletin today, you saw Psalm 1. The first two verses especially, I reprinted those verses, and we'll talk about those in just a moment. But let's begin with the third verse. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We read very similar to this, didn't we, in Jeremiah 17:8. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You know, trees that fruit aren't bearing all their fruit all the time. In fact, if you read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, along the river that flows from the throne of God in the eternal earth, there are trees that line the river. They don't all bear all year long. There are 12 manners of trees, and each tree bears for a month. Each tree has a season. You've heard me talk about my orchard. The plums bear in June. The peaches bear in July. The pears bear in August. And the apples bear in September. The muscadines bear, in September also. The persimmons bear in November. So every tree has its season. We have our seasons too. And sometimes we look at our lives and we think, no, God's not really doing much in my life. There's a season. And if we stay planted, in my Bible, I have put a period behind, in that verse 3, I put a period behind the word planted. And I did it for my own personal benefit. And every time I read this verse, it reads to me like, and he shall be like a tree planted. Whoa! Firm, grounded, planted and will not be moved. He'll be planted. Where will he be planted? By the rivers of water. What will happen to him? He'll bring forth fruit. When will he bring forth fruit? In his season. Who determines the season? The one who invented the tree, the one who created the tree, the one who put it there, who put the tree. He's the one that changed me and made me into the tree that he wanted me to be. And so it's up to him what kind of fruit I'm going to bring forth, and it's up to him as to when I'm going to bring it forth. His leaf also shall not wither. I don't expect to ever be a dried up old prune. If I live to 95, I expect to be fresh and vigorous, at least on the inside, and as best I can on the outside too. You watch. Those of you who are my age, hang around. And you watch it. You watch it. I'm going to be fresh and vital and vigorous until the day I draw my last breath. Why? Because God making me a tree. I'm going to flourish, I'm going to bring forth fruit, and my leaf is not going to wither. And guess what else is going to happen to me and to you if you adopt this view? Whatever he doeth shall prosper, shall prosper. Whatever I do is going to prosper. Whatever I do is going to do well. Now, my pastoring is going to prosper. That means you're going to prosper. Hello, hello, hello. You're going to prosper under the ministry that God has given me among us. Whatever I do, it's in my personal life, in my professional life, in my ministry, whatever I do in my garden, whatever I do with my animals, whatever I do with my family, it's going to prosper. Whatever I do with my church brothers and sisters, it's going to prosper because I'm going to be a tree and I'm going to plant. Now, I'm going to be planted. Now, how does God make us a tree? How do I become this kind of tree? Do I just say, oh, God, make me a tree? Is that the way you do it? How do I become a tree? Verse 1 and 2 tells you how to become a tree. There are two things here. The first one is in verse 1. The second one is in verse 2. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so what is the first thing that's involved in having God make us the kind of tree we've been talking about today? And that is, be careful whose counsel you take. Be careful whose advice you listen to. Be careful to the direction of the direction that you are taking from where and from whom. Be careful whom you follow. If you sit in the counsel of the or walk in the counsel of the ungodly, if you stand in the way of sinners, if you sit in the seat of the scornful, verse 5 says, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And if so, you take your direction, you take your counsel, you take your advice, and you take your way of thinking, your view of the world, your view of the world around you, your view of the way things are and ought to be, the way you order your life. The King James Bible talks about your conversation, your manner and style of life. If you choose that after the example of the ungodly, the example of the sinner and the scornful, then you will never be a tree planted like we've been talking about today. So you must be very careful who you listen to. The second principle then is in verse 2. But, everybody say but. That's one of the most important verses in all of the Word of God. But he shall. But his delight is what? In the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, seeing everything through the prism or the glasses of the Word of God. Making the Word of God your dwelling place. Making the Word of God. Pastor Vic, every time you speak, it always comes back to the Word of God. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I'm a one-trick pony. I am. I only do one trick. I mean, you don't get a variety of stuff from me. You get one thing from me. We start in a lot of different places, but we'll always come back to this. Always come back to the Word. Because the Word of God, according to Romans 8 or Romans 1, is the power of God. The Word of God is the power of God. You want the power of God loosed in your life to make you a tree? You go to the Word of God. You delight in the Word of God. You meditate in the Word of God day and night. What does it mean to meditate in the Word of God? You think about the Word of God. This is what I did in our bulletin today. Think on the Word. You might be smart to take this page off the bulletin and put it on the magnet and stick it on your refrigerator. Or take a piece of tape and stick it on your mirror. Don't stick it on your windshield of your car, okay? You won't be able to see to drive. But it's there for a reminder. Think on the Word. That's what it means to meditate in the Word of God. It means to have the Word of God always on your mind. When something comes up, you're having a discussion with somebody, here's what ought to happen. It ought to trigger the Word of God. It ought to trigger something. Oh, that reminds me of what this says or what that says. I'm noticing that right now in the life of one of my sons, and it's so beautiful to watch. I'll say something to him, I was just reading that. You know it says and thus and so, and he would tell me. And maybe he get the book wrong, maybe he gets a book right, but he's got the Word. I mean, he's thinking on it, and he's meditating on it, and I can see he's delighting in the Word of God. I'm so rejoicing in that. And everything we talk about, he just, you know, bing, 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 bing. And that is not something that has been, he's becoming a tree. He's becoming a tree. we're going to take our counsel from the Word of God. We're not going to take it from the world. We're going to do what the Word of God says, and the way we're going to know what the Word of God says is we're going to pay attention to the Word of God. You cannot be, I don't see how you can possibly be the kind of tree we've been talking about today unless we do these two things. And that is why it's bing verse 1, bing verse 2, bing verse 3, here's the result. You don't sit in the seat of scornfuls, you don't take your advice from the ungodly, you delight in the law of the Lord, and what will happen to you, the consequence is you will be a tree that has all of the benefits and all of the wonderful characteristics that we have described as we have read through Psalms and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea. Now that's what I want for my life. I'm resolved to have it that way. And I pray that you will do the same. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Make us all trees, Lord. You can make us any kind you want. We're not going to tell you what kind of tree. You can make us an apple tree. You can make us an oak tree. You can make us a sourwood tree. You can make us any kind of, you make us a pine tree. It doesn't matter what kind of tree it is. As long as it has your life flowing through it, as long as it's planted in your courts, as long as it's fruitful in its season, and as long as it remains, even in its old age, fruitful, green, vigorous, and fresh. We're going to do our part, and that is we're going to take our advice from the Word of God. We're going to take our view of right and wrong from the Word of God. And we're going to develop that sense of right and wrong, sense of the view of things from the Word by spending time in the Word. We're going to devote ourselves to thinking about what the Word of God has to say. We're going to read it. We're going to meditate in it. We're going to sing it. We're going to recite it. We're going to memorize it. It's going to be such a part of our life that is going to be the most important thing in our life. For the Word of God is you. You and the Word are one. And so we will come to know you. We will come to learn how you think and begin to think like you do. So that we will become all that you have destined us to be. That's our resolve. That's our commitment. And we thank you for making it so clear and giving us this beautiful image. I hope, Lord, that we will never look at a tree again in the same way. That every time we see a tree, we will think about what you spoke to us today. And it will remind us of the importance of walking close to you, having our roots down deep next to your river, spending time in your Word. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.